All right, I want to get right into the word this morning. Now, folks, you know how the Old Testament is. It's just wild and crazy. It's just full of sight and sound and smells. And it just paints this big old vivid picture. I mean, when you read an Old Testament story, you just see this story all over the place. And it's pretty amazing. And I'm going to bring you one of those this morning. But I want you to go over to 1 Samuel, if you're turning in your Bible or iPad or phone. I like to hear the pages turning, but, you know, sometimes, like somebody showed me this morning a large print Bible, which is good. I said, why do you think I have an iPad? And it even has light and big words that you can make. So, turn to 1 Samuel. I think I will read at chapter 6, but I'll lay you a foundation, and I won't take all morning to lay the foundation, I promise. But this is one of those stories, I don't know, it might be a good story to read to your children, and it may not be one to read to your children. We'll see. But when you get home, if you are not familiar with this portion of scripture in 1 Samuel, you need to go back over when you get home or sometime this week and just read from chapter 3. Just read it on till about 7, 8, or 9. Just read it. I'm telling you, it's just a blessing. Well, last week we talked a little bit about the Philistines and how evil they were and everything they were doing. And I look at this today and I'm thinking the Philistines are at it again. They just never quit. They're just full of hatred and they're full of lies and they're full of a Jezebel spirit and they're constantly wanting to take over and they're constantly wanting to do things their way and they just hated God's people and they hated Israel. And how many of you know we're living in America where the same thing's happening today? We got two-legged Philistines all over the world. But in America, it just seems that they have a heart full of hate for anything that is good. They stand against the truth, of course. And they're anti-Semitic. They don't like the Jews. They don't want Israel. Israel is little Satan, and they call America big Satan. And they just want us both wiped off the map. But how many know that's not going to happen? But so, let me show you what happens. And it may not happen exactly like this, but I can tell you the present-day Philistines are in for a big awakening. Now, the church is going to have a great awakening, but they're going to have one too. One writer called it a rude awakening. I think I said that to you about it in 2020. It'll be a rude awakening. But let's take a look at this. Now, these guys got so bold in their hatred, and today they're getting pretty bold too. Now they're just getting so full of hatred and lies, they forget what they said and what they did, and now they just got a big old mess going on. They don't even hardly know what's happening, but they're doing it. They just keep on. Well, these Philistines got so bold and so ugly and so hateful, and Israel began to play around with other gods, and Israel began to get comfortable in the blessing they had and the prosperity they had. And when God's people begin to play and they begin to back up from the things of God and they get lethargic concerning the things of God, then it's not very good for them either. So you're going to say, how did this happen? Well, it's because God's people got cold. They waxed cold in their hearts and began to back out. Not all of them, but some of them. So I think, Kathy, instead of you going over to chapter 5, now go to chapter 5 with me, would you? I wasn't going to go there, but let's just read those first 4 or 5 verses instead of me just telling you how it went. Might entice you to read a little bit of this. 1 Samuel chapter 5 verse 1, and then the Philistines took the ark of God and brought it from Ebenezer to Ashdod. What? They stole the ark of God's presence? How did they do that? Well, they did it by a sleepy church. The priest went into the temple and got the temple, brought out the Ark of the Covenant, took it out to battle. Now, they knew better than that. They were not supposed to touch that ark, but they took it right out to battle. Well, the Philistines, by this time, they should have known they couldn't trust them. They were so bold, and they were so wicked, and Israel had kind of fallen off the wagon as far as prayer and seeking God's face. So they just went out to fight them. They thought, man, we're blessed to God. We're God's people. We'll just go whip them. But when they got out there, the Philistines took over, killed thousands of their men, and stole the Ark of the Lord. Ark of the Covenant. And you're like, what? How'd they do that? Well, let's read it. See what happened to them. 5:1. So the Philistines took the Ark of God and brought it from Ebenezer to Ashdod. And when the Philistines took the Ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon. That's their false god. And when the people of Ashdod arose early in the morning, there was Dagon fallen on its face to the earth right in front of the Ark of the Lord. And so they took Dagon and they set it back up in its place again. Verse 4, and when they arose early the next morning, there was old Dagon fallen on his face to the ground before the Ark of the Lord, and the head of Dagon and both, look at this, God makes things impossible, not his hands, but the palms of his hands. How do you break the palms of your hands off? But the head of Dagon and both palms of its hands were broken off on the threshold, and only Dagon's torso was left. Look at verse 6. But the hand of the Lord was heavy. Somebody say heavy. Heavy on the people of Ashdod, and he ravaged them and struck them with tumors, both Ashdod and its territory. Now, when the Bible says and uses that word heavy in certain areas, you'll see later, but it says his hand was heavy upon them. And the word heavy means weighty, and weighty means glory. So the glory of the Lord, when it falls on the sinner or the lost or hate-filled people, it's one thing. It's very heavy, and it is not a good thing. But when the weightiness and the glory falls upon God's people, the church, something else entirely happens. Okay, so now these guys have big trouble. Now they've got tumors coming upon them. And so now they're realizing that they've got a big problem. And they're like, what are we going to do? We've got this thing in here with us now. Our God has been toppled over, broken his head and hands off. And then nobody really wanted to go where it was. So now they're looking at this. And look at verse 9. It says, the hand of the Lord was against the city with very great destruction. I'm reading in the middle of the verse. And he struck the men of the city, both small and great, and tumors broke out on them. Verse 10. Therefore, they sent the Ark of God to Ekron. They go, here, you guys can have this. This is the presence of God, man. This is our trophy. Y'all want it? And I thought, ooh, yeah, boy, that'll make us look good. And so they got rid of the Ark, got it out. And then tumors broke out on them because they were no good either. They didn't have any God-fearing people at Ekron. Well, that story just goes on, and you can follow that. We went to 5 different cities, but they were all wicked, so they all broke out in tumors. And that's not all. But look at verse 12 in the same chapter, 5:12. And the men who did not die were stricken with the tumors, and the men who did not die were stricken with the tumors, and the cry of the city went up to heaven. Notice the cry now of these heathen didn't go up to Dagon. The cry of the city now went up to Israel's God. See, that's what we're after. In this day, we must see the glory of God, the presence of God upon his church again, more than the early church even, as we talked about just a couple of weeks ago. So now, this Ark of the Covenant that was once their trophy is now, it's just been a curse. It's just been a horrible thing. And now they're trying to get rid of it because it's not a trophy now, it's a curse. And it was in their land 7 months. Chapter 6, verse 1 will tell you that it was there with the Philistines 7 months. That's a long time to have something that you don't want in your place. All right, so here's what they did now. Chapter 6, verse 2. And the Philistines called for the priest and the diviners, saying, "What shall we do with the ark of the Lord? Tell us how we should send it to its place." What do we do? They went to the priests. They went to the diviners. They went to some soothsayers. They went to everybody they could to say, "Hey, what do we do with this thing?" Now look what it says in verse 3. So they said, those men said, "Now if you send away the ark of God of Israel, look, do not send it empty, but by all means return it to him with a trespass offering." Do you know how important offerings are to God? Even the heathens knew it's important. Don't you dare ever come into his presence without an offering. I mean, even if you get up at home, you at least offer him a praise out of your mouth. This morning we gave him praise, we gave him worship, we gave him an offering of our money, of our time. You're giving him time. We're seeking him first this morning. Listen, when we seek him first, then he'll take care of all the rest. But if you don't put him first, then you're going to try to have to take care of all the rest. So, they said, don't you send that ark back to him empty, but do it like this. Do not send it empty. By all means, return it to him with a trespass offering. Then you will be healed, and it will be known to you why his hand is removed from you. God went like this. Whoop. And the priest Eli, his two sons were killed during this time. And Phinehas, his wife, actually was pregnant, almost ready to have the baby. Her husband died. Her brother-in-law had died. But she watched those Philistines come in right into the people of Israel's place, right into the temple, and take that ark out. And that got to her more than losing her husband. She goes to her father-in-law, Eli the priest, and she says, "Eli, Eli, I can't believe what just happened. The Philistines took the ark. They stole it." And when the old man heard that, and she told him both sons had fallen over dead, when he heard about the boys dying, but when it came to the Ark of the Covenant, he knew what that meant. The priest knew what it meant, and he just fell out dead. Well, it said he fell backwards, and he fell over dead. And she had a baby within her, and when the baby was born, she named the baby Ichabod, meaning his glory has departed. Now, what I just read to you, the heathens even knew that. They said, maybe you can find out why his glory, or find out why his hand was removed from you. Let's find out what's going on with the church. Let's find out why we haven't had a move of God in over 2 decades. Going into the 3rd decade. Church, something is wrong. I'm not just talking about Landmark. I'm talking about the body of Christ. Oh, yeah, we've had outbreaks. Oh, we had them from the early church on in the 1400s, 1600s, 1700s, 1800s. Every century there was a major move of God. The 20th century opened with the Azusa Street Revival. It closed out with Maria Woodworth Edder in a mighty revival. It closed out the 19th century with the Mighty Wales Revival. In the 50s was a healing revival. The 60s was a Jesus movement. The 70s and 80s were the charismatic renewal. It lasted 20 years. Where the Baptists and Catholics and Presbyterians and Lutherans were all being baptized in the Holy Ghost. In the 90s, little fires broke out, even at the airport in Toronto, Canada. Broke out in Pensacola, right there in a place where there were strip clubs and bingo parlors and witchcraft and everything. It broke out right in the middle at that Pensacola Assembly of God traditional church. Nothing had changed that day. They walked in and the glory of God happened to be there. But since the 90s, there's been a lot of things happen in the body of Christ. There's been some great praise and worship and great preaching, and a few things happen here and there. But God says, I'm saving the best wine for the last hours of the last days. I'm telling you, that new wine is upon His church. He said, so you will find out why God has pulled back. All right, but look at this. They said, what do we do? What do we do? Verse 4. I told you Old Testament can be pretty crazy, but it'll work. Just go with me. Verse 4. And then they said, what is the trespass offering which we shall return to Him? And they said, 5. Read it with me. Golden. What? Yeah. You get 5 golden tumors, and they get 5 golden rats. Why rats? Because not only did the tumors overtake the people, but the rats began to move into the land. Rats came up out of the ground. Mice and rats came up out of the ground and ate all the corn, ate all their fields up. Everything was destroyed. Their bodies were in pain. They lost thousands and thousands of people with the plague of the tumors. Now, if you read the old King James Version, now I won't elaborate this. I'm going to go ahead and call them tumors. But when you read the old King James, it'll call them hemorrhoids or hemorrhoids. That's what they were hemorrhoids. So he said, now I want you to get 5 of those hemorrhoids, or we'll call them tumors. 5 tumors, and I want you to make a model of exactly the way it looked. I'm like, now who modeled that tumor? New King James tumor. But anyway, he said, I want you to get 5 of those, just get a tumor and model it, and then make 5 golden tumors. You shape them, make it look just like that. And then get 5 rats. Now, they don't have to model. They pretty much know what they look like. But make 5 golden rats. And get that because there were 5 cities where the ark went, and it shouldn't have went there. It should have stayed in the temple. But they had 5 leaders, 5 priests of each one of those cities, and they're all going to pay. So I said, so you need to really make a trespass offering because you've trespassed God. So this just grows. And verse 5 says, therefore you shall make an, here it is, I told you. Verse 5, therefore you shall make an image. That means a picture of your tumors. And images of your rats that ravaged the land. And you shall give glory to God of Israel, to the God of Israel. Perhaps He will lighten His hand from you and your gods and from your land. Okay, do you think that worked? Well, they did it. They went ahead and, oh, we got to go farther. What else did they say? Verse 7, I could tell you this story, but it's good for you to read it. Look at verse 7. Now, therefore, they said, make a new cart with 2 milk cows. The old King James says milk, M-I-L-C-K, kine, K-I-N-E, but that means milk cows. Now make a cart, take 2 milk cows which have never been yoked, hitch their cows to the cart, and take their calves home away from them. Now how many of you have ever seen somebody try to load a cow? Put them on a yoke? That's just not going to happen. Reminds me of the new pony that Jesus rode, the new donkey. There had never been a saddle on it. But see, these things were made by God. These old cows, I think, knew their maker. I think that little colt knew its maker and who was on it. And so they said, so get a new cart, get the 2 milk cows, never been yoked up, make it real hard, hitch the cows to the cart, they're attached, take their calves away from them. And then take the Ark of the Covenant, set it on the cart, put the articles of gold which you are returning to him as a trespass offering in a chest by its side, by the side of the Ark. Put those five tumors and the five rats, those golden rats, put them in a little chest by the side. And then send it away and just let it go. There's not going to be a driver on the cart. These two cows that have never been yoked up with their babies crying back there are going to have to do this all by themselves. Now, here's why they did it. And watch if it goes up the road in its own territory to Beth Shemesh, then he has done us this great evil. God has done this great evil if they go on. But if not, then we shall know, and it is not his hand that struck us, that it happened to us by chance. Maybe we'll find out. And so the men did so, and they took the milk cows, and they hitched them to the cart, and they shut up the calves at home. And they set the ark of the Lord on the cart, and the chest of the gold rats, and the images of their tumors. Now, stop right there. Now, here you got the whole scenario. You've got a picture. I mean, it's pretty well painted, isn't it? You can see these cows. They have never been yoked up, and here they go. Now, those babies are crying at home. Now, when my husband would separate the cows from the calves, every year about springtime, he'd have about 100 to 150 calves that he would separate from the mothers. After the mother got to be a certain age, he would put the mothers over here and the calves over here in another field, and they would all be separated. And you should have heard the bawling of those mothers. It's a cry you will never forget. It's a lonely cry. It's a hurtful cry. And the little babies are bawling the same way. And I would say, don't you think you could just put them back together for another couple of weeks? You would hear them bawl all night and all day. So what they were doing was putting a fleece before the Lord, a hard one. They thought it was hard before God. And they said, okay, do it this way. Hitch those old cows to that cart. Don't have a driver. Put everything on it. And then let's see if they will go straight for 10 miles. They'll go down there to the next city that we want to send them to. 10 miles. Now, there must have been forks along the way, and you know, in those days, they didn't have paved streets, so no telling what the dirt road looked like. But these things never strayed. They didn't look to the right or the left. They just kept going straight. Now, these guys knew what baby calves separated from mamas would do. These men were betting that these cows were going to turn around and go back to the babies. They said, we know it. That's why they said, now watch. You keep an eye on this in verse 9, watch. And if it goes up the road to its own territory, to Beth Shemesh, then we'll know that God did this great evil to us. But if they turn around and go back to the babies, we'll know that it was just by chance that this happened. Just by chance. Well, I think most of you probably know now that it wasn't a chance, that God really has no chances. Now, he doesn't cause things like car wrecks and horrible things that happen in our life, but I'll tell you what, he'll turn it and work it for good. Don't you ever put that blame on him. He doesn't do those things. He said, I have good plans for you. So they hitched up the cows in verse 10. Then the men did so. They took the two cows, hitched them up to the cart. Look at verse 12. And then the cows headed straight for the road to Beth Shemesh and went along the highway. Look at this next word, breaks my heart, lowing as they went. They did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. And the Lord of the Philistines went after them to the border of Beth Shemesh. Ah, they were lowing as they went. I thought of you and me. You know, when a cow is lowing, it is crying, it is moaning. These old cows, all that they were used to was waiting in the barn to get milked. They would cry when they needed to be milked or when they wanted to feed their babies. And they were just lowing. Then, and if they weren't doing that, they were just chewing the cud. Just chewing and chewing and chewing all day. Just chewing, eating, drinking water, feeding the babies, and getting milk. That's all they did. They did not go for a 10-day walk where they'd never been before. hitched up to a new wagon. They didn't care if it was a new wagon or an old wagon. Now, this message I'm just calling the milk cow anointing. I think we could use a little touch of what these old cows had. And you know what? Furthermore, I think we do. You and I pick up our cross daily and follow Jesus, don't we? He said, yoke up with me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. How can he say that with the stuff we've been through? Because we yoke with him. And to be under a yoke, they're usually bent over. And I would thought of us, many of you, even right now, are still grieving in your heart. And I watch you still come to church. You are still serving the Lord, but you are lowing as you go. You are lowing and you just keep going. Oh, yeah. Stacy, you're lowing, honey, but you're here this morning. You're lowing in pain. You're lowing in hurt. You may be lowing in some things you don't understand. Some of you may even be in some kind of darkness. You're lowing, but you're seeking the face of the Lord. And those old cows kept moving. They kept moving, and they were carrying something very special. Folks, let me tell you something. We are carriers. We are carriers of the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. We are carriers of this ark. Hallelujah. He's got new blessings, and his mercies are new. Every single morning, he said, I gave you a new cart to carry your burden every single day. Pick up your cross daily. Jesus said it. Not Paul, not Peter. Jesus said, you pick up your cross and you follow me. And we go lowing, Laura, lowing as we go. When things we don't understand, we don't get it. But see, you guys, we're yoked up with the right one. You're yoked with Jesus. And we are attached to the wagon. We're attached to the church. We're tied to the church. And we have Jesus inside. And it doesn't get any better than that, folks. It doesn't matter what you go through. As long as you're a carrier, and we got this great ark in us, and the devil comes and tries to take it from the church and tries to take it from God's people. But God says, oh, no, you don't. I will strike you with tumors and rats in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, God. And you know what else? When you've been tried in the fire, how do you come out? Pure as gold. You come out gold. You take those old ugly tumors. Oh, we could model a few. We could model a few tumors. How many's ever had some rats that get in your field and try to eat it up? And if he can't get in your field right now to eat it up, he'll make you look back at the past and see how the rats back there. If you're healed today and you're not sick in your body, then he'll put you out there and say, well, look out there. You may be. Maybe this is going to happen. This might happen. That could happen. Don't you go borrowing any tumors. We don't need to borrow anything from tomorrow. And we don't need to look back from anything from the past. And the Lord is so dealing with past with me. Listen, it was not a mistake for us to have all of you that brought your past testimony up here. And we heard testimonies. Every one of us have one. We were talking about it the other day. There's glory on our story. Every story has a glory on it. The Lord dealt with me to take down all of those pictures of the has-been revivalists back there. We took them all down. Because he said, behold, I'm doing a new thing. I have no idea. I told you, I think last week or so, I said, man, I've been preaching revival since 1996. And I went home thinking about that. Oh, no. It was like 1987, 86, 87. We don't need a prophet to come in here and tell us what's coming in these last hours. We are not foolish. We can look and see what time it is. We look at the signs. But let me tell you, they captured Israel, and they killed a lot of people, but they could not deal with the presence of God. People cannot deal with Him, church. They just can't. It becomes a curse to them. What did Deuteronomy 28 say? Deuteronomy 28, the first 14 verses give you blessings. If you do this, if you hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord thy God, then I will bless you coming in and going out. I will bless you in the city, and I will bless you in the field. I will make you the head and not the tail. I will put you above only and not beneath. I will bless your basket and your store. I will bless your kind. I'll bless your gardens. I'll bless your animals. Everything that has to do with you, I'll bless it if you'll only obey me. Hear, hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God. But then the next verse says this. If you don't hearken diligently. See, but in New Testament church, we flip this one out. Because we don't like this. He says, but if you don't hearken diligently, I will curse you in the city and I will curse you in the field. I will curse you coming in. I'll curse you going out. I'll curse your finances and your store and everything that pertains to you if you want to play the game. Now, we are under grace, and it's a good thing, and I appreciate it, and I love forgiveness. But, church, this isn't the day to play. I referred to what Becky Fender said so many times. She said, if you were going to play around with God, backslide, you should have done it way back in the 50s while the revival's going on. Don't do it now. We're too far down the road. So we want God's hand to weigh on us heavily, but we want the glory of God. Now, I'll tell you, these old cows, they didn't know where they were going. But all I know is they got attached to that cart. They got attached to the glory of God. And they were attached to a new cart. And you and I, we know we have purpose with God. But you know what? They fulfilled their purpose. They fulfilled the plan of God. I don't know if God put some kind of anointing on them or how He made this happen. But they just went straight. And Lyndall, you both of you will remember this. Many of you raised in the church. Remember how the old-timers would get up and prophesy, and they'd speak in tongues, and they'd prophesy. And we used to make fun of them as young people. You know, it seemed like every one of them said, yea, I say unto thee, you don't look neither to the right nor the left. And they would say that almost every service. And we'd just crack up. There goes again. Don't you look to the right or to the left. I'm like, oh my God. We didn't. Because we knew it would get us in trouble. Better get those blinders on. And here, even these heathens said, now, if these cows don't look to the right or the left, but they keep going, they're going to reach that city, and we're going to know that God has dealt with us. And you know what? Those old cows didn't look to the right. They didn't look to the left. So I say unto thee, my people, look not to the right nor the left. You just set your face like a flint. Keep moving. Let's move back and come in. Amen. Woo, hallelujah. Oh, we've got His yoke and we're yoked up to the presence of the Lord. Amen. Well, I'll wind it down now. So look at verse 12. It's so encouraging right here. Then the cows headed straight for the road to Bethshemesh and went along the highway, lowing as they went. And they did not turn aside, yea, I say unto thee, to the right or to the left. And the lords of the Philistines went after them to the border. Verse 13, now the people of Bethshemesh were reaping their wheat harvest in the valley. And they lifted up their eyes and they saw the ark and they rejoiced to see it. They're just out there going to work. They're just going to work. And all of a sudden the heavy hand of God came on the people and they looked up and there came the presence of the Lord. That's what happened in the upper room. They were just sitting there and all of a sudden they heard this glorious thundering sound like a mighty wind and it just came in where they were sitting. And they rejoiced to see it. Now, some of you are going to cry with this. Verse 14, then the cart came into the field of Joshua Beth Shemesh and stood there, and a large stone was there, and they split the wood for the cart and offered the cows as a burnt offering. I told you. You say, after all that, those poor old cows, they're just going to burn them? Yeah. They did their purpose. They went lowing as they went, and they served the purpose of God, and they did it. Man, it built up. They tore up. They pulled the cart apart, put it on the fire first, burnt the cart, burnt the cows. And doesn't it make you think about us, church, when you run the parallels? See the scenario? Isn't it like us? Romans chapter 12 said, offer yourself as a living sacrifice to God. We are a living sacrifice, body, soul, and spirit. So we're moving along. We're a blessed people. We're a Holy Spirit filled people. We love the Lord with all of our hearts, with all of our little quirks, all of our ways. He said, your ways are not mine. Quit trying to figure me out. You never will, because I'm so big. Now see, they thought this was a fleece, and they thought surely these things will turn and go back, and then we'll know it was just a chance. No. I mean, God does things that just doesn't make a bit of sense. Now, I don't have time now. I'm going to stop to take you on through so many things in the Word that you know were just like this. But church, I'll tell you, God has called us a blessed people. And all I know is when you're tried in the fire, we come out like pure gold. And I know it may sound a little funny. I don't mean it to be, but just bring your tumors and put them on the ark. Sickness, disease, the pain, the rudeness, the sharpness of it all. And the rats, whether they're two-legged rats, or a test or a trial, because God's taken us somewhere. And just remember, pick up your cross daily, follow him, go after him, because you've got the ark in you, and we're attached to the church, the body of Christ. Amen? And we'll come out as pure gold. Stand with me this morning. We are temples of the Holy Ghost. Just keep on moving, church. We see the glory of God in a way, a certain way, every single day. But God said, I'm coming in a new way. Hallelujah. I'm going to bless you, but I want us just to take a few minutes. Bring some of these things to the altar. And Brother Rick, after I bless the people, I want you just to take us off Facebook. May the Lord bless you at home and in the house. May the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you. May he turn his face toward us, be gracious to us, turn his countenance toward us, and give us peace in your home, in your life, in your finances. And as you're walking lowing, may he bring you to a new place. Bring your tumors, the rats, lay it at his feet. And see the glory of God in your life. Amen. Amen.